Just in case everyone thinks I'm in Maya playing with my mobile phone, yesterday class, I had over 600 people watching it. Not all live, but people watched it, you know, recorded. So it's actually important for the whole world. I'm not saying my classes are important. That would be kind of proud. But it's important for people who participate in Christian guitar. So every day before class, I set up the phone like this, so it's on live. I send out a tweet. You know what a tweet is? No one knows what Twitter is. You're this innocent brahmacharis. You've been in India too long. So, and then I put a link to my second page on Facebook, because I have two pages. I have a fan page. I mean, I wouldn't have two pages, but that's just what Facebook makes you get. So I have a fan page for all my fans. And then I have what's called a timeline. Do anyone know about Facebook? No, nobody here knows about the internet. Too bad. I feel sorry for you. Half your lives are wasted. So, I'm trying to get my mother to go on Facebook to watch me. But she's only 90 years old, so she's having trouble figuring out the technology. So, unfortunately. Eventually she'll figure it out, when she's 95. So, on that happy note, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihave.
I'm Paramahamsa, Paravidakacharya, Alstuteta Sitashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananad, Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupad, Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupad, Ananda Goti, Vaishnav, Vrinda Gajaya, Nam Acharya, Srila Haridas, Pakur, Gajaya. Ram say Koho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Rama Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Govardhana Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Gijaya Vrindavan Gijaya Chirdam Gijaya Navadiptam Gijaya Jagadavasami Gijaya Yamunamaya Gijaya Shimati Talasi Devi Gijaya Sambhya Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Gaur Premananda All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gijaya Gaur. Okay, we are in the forest of material enjoyment right now. So, fifth canto, chapter 14, text 11 today. And this is prose, so we're just going to read it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so I'll just read this. Kvachituluka jihi aje ajili swanava ati parusha vasavas topam pratyaksham paroksham va ripuraja kula nirvartsite nati Yatita karnamula vidaya vachetuluka jihili swanvadati porusha vasavasto pam vajaksham paroksham varupu ripu rajakula nirvartsite nati Yatita karnamula vidaya vachetuluka jihili swanvadati porusha Vapasa topam pachaksham paroksham varu ripu raja kula nirvart sitena tivyatita karna mula vidaya. I'm going to repeat. Kvachet.
Kvachet.
You all remember what the word kvachit means? Because we use the same word in every verse. Anyone?
Without, don't read.
Every day, every verse in this section begins with that word. Try to say that means sometimes. Okay? Kvachit, sometimes. Uluka of the owl. Owls, what's the word for owl in your language?
Solo.
Solo?
Sola.
Soba. That's the animal who goes, ooh, ooh. Ulu. Ulu, that's what the ladies do in Gaul. They ulu. And there's a kirtan, isn't it?
Ooh.
That's Jihili. Jihili. And the cricket. You all know what a cricket is? What's that?
It's an insect.
It's an insect. Little insect that rubs its legs together to call the girl crickets. Something like that. Swanabat. Exactly like intolerable sounds. Ati parusha. Extremely piercing. Ravasa. By perseverance. And that's a little complicated English word for some of you. That means someone who's very determined and continues in all circumstances. That's what perseverance means. Adopam. Agitation. Pratyaksham. Directly. Paroksham. Indirectly. Va. Or. Ripu. Enemies, Rajakula, and of government officers, Nirbartsitena, by chastisement, Adivyatita, very aggrieved, Karnamula Vidyaha, whose ear and heart. So translation, sometimes the conditioned soul is very aggrieved by the chastisement of his enemies and government servants who use harsh words against him directly or indirectly. At that time, his heart and ears become very saddened. Such chastisement may be compared to the sounds of owls and crickets. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. So there are different types of enemies within this material world. The government chastises over one due to not paying income taxes. Such criticism, direct or indirect, saddens one, and sometimes the conditioned soul tries to counteract that chastisement. Unfortunately, he can't do anything. Vachet, Luka, Chiri, Swanavana, Tiporisha, Ravasa, Topam, Pratyaksham, Paroksham, Paroksham, Varipurajakula, Nirvarsitenati, Vyatita Karnamula, Vridayaka. So. So, elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the piercing words that come from different living entities, especially those who were close to us, are more painful than knives in the heart. It's very painful. Why? Why are words so painful? Well, according to Lord Kapilade, referring to devotional service, of course, there is a direct channel between the ear and the heart. Bhavanti vidkarna rasaya kata vajoshanarasu abhavardhavardhanitra vatiya vati nukra vashati.
Because the words sound vibration is just very powerful. I mean, it's one thing to see someone's ugly face, someone making faces at you. I was a little scary nowadays. Like they have this thing with criminal clowns now in the United States. Anyway, so, but just to hear, especially from someone who's near and dear to you, these heavy words, oh my God, you just want to run away, do something, and cry, chant Hare Krishna. I've had experience too. And sometimes, you know, the people you're really trying to help in Krishna consciousness, and they just turn against you. And actually, even that happened with some of Prabhupada's disciples. There was one, I don't want to mention his name, but Prabhupada said he's become a snake because he had been affected by his critical attitude, first of all from Prabhupada's, some of Prabhupada's godbrothers, and then also from impersonalists or people who were against their sampradaya, not impersonalists, but what's called the anti-party. It's interesting. Just a little history for you. There's an anti-party that's against the sampradaya beginning or continuing with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this anti-party, they're followers of Lalit Prasad Thakur, who was one of Bhakti Vinod Thakur's sons, who Prabhupada said had a transcendental disagreement with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So this party has been trying to influence ISKCON devotees practically from the beginning. And many of the people who live at Radha Kund, some of the Babaji's, they're actually followers of this particular party, and they criticize Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he's not actually a disciple of Srila Gaura Kishoridas Babaji Maharaj, and then Bhakti Vinod Thakur's actual guru, Pini Bihari Goswami. Anyway, so they go through this whole thing. And they try to destroy the faith of the devotees, and some of the devotees, they're very sentimental or naive or whatever, and they become influenced, and then they turn against the international society, which they turn against Prabhupada, turn against the actual sampradaya. So, not to get into this whole affair, but Prabhupada was very hurt, and he said that people became snakes, because they would actually, Prabhupada's own disciples, they would criticize him. And to this day, some of them are still going on the internet. They have, don't look for it, that's why I'm not going to give the name, because you can get contaminated. And they actually dedicate themselves to trying to destroy the faith of the Hare Krishna devotees, of the members of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, or even members of other Gaudiya Math groups. And so it's extremely painful when you deal with these things. I mean, I've had experience, not only with those people, but with other people. Actually, even some of my, one of my disciples became influenced by one of the people, and she came up to me, I was at Govardhan, and she said, Gurudev, I just took initiation from one of the Babaji's. Do I have your permission? Do I have not permission, because there were, she already did it. Of course, that's also the ISKCON standard. You ask for permission later after you do something. That's what we learned at the international side. It's not a good procedure. Gurudev, you know, I just got married. Do I have your permission? What can I do about it now? So anyway, so she came up to me. It's very painful. Because naturally, in this world, even in serving Krishna, one develops, you know, feelings for other people. And in Krishna consciousness, is not my about philosophy where. And so sometimes when these things happen, we just like want to become my buddies, but this world is useless, miserable, which is true. It's not useless. But it's a place of misery where birth and death take place, you know, so let me just become detached from all these rascal disciples. So ultimately what I do is I chant Hare Krishna more. I go for long walks. And it's actually, in one sense, it's Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's so interesting, such an interesting person, that even when he creates these situations for a devotee can take advantage of these situations, like, what do they say? When life gives you a lemon, you make lemonade out of it. So a devotee takes advantage of these situations, sees the good, because actually I started chanting more rounds when these things started to happen. Nice. But I don't want them to have it yet. But anyway, so get to sleep and chant more rounds, started chanting 64 rounds on the codicil, took more shelter of the whole thing. So that's actually a devotional response to the whole thing. So how can we, the question is, all of us have to deal with these things, whether it's from our disciples, or whether it's from our husband or wife, or whether it's from our children, or whether it's from our friends, or the other brahmacharis in the brahmachari ashram, not brahmacharini ashram, and or the other brahmacharinis, or whatever. We have to deal with these things. So, how to maintain our sanity is the question. And so I'm going to address that point. Because emotions are natural. We don't want to give up emotions. We don't want to become like a stone. Although that's one technique one can take. We don't want that because that's impersonalism. And we want to love Krishna. So therefore we have to figure out a way to develop our emotional life with Krishna. And of course emotions are called in Sanskrit bhava. To use an English word, all bhavas. Because sometimes we combine English with Sanskrit to pluralize things. It's quite interesting. Like you say, the acharyas. You understand you're making it a plural just by adding an S, but that's not what it means in Sanskrit. Anyway, so we have to somehow or other develop bhava. Instead of course, in the material world, we have bhava rog. That means sick. Rogue means sick. Like Prabhupada said, you're either a bogey, yogi, or a rogi, depending on how many times you go to the bathroom every day. That was interesting. The beginning days of the movement, Prabhupada said, hey, yogi, he goes once a day. A bogey goes twice a day, and a rogi more times than that. Rogi means a sick person. Like rogue is sickness, rogi is the person who's sick, like yoga and yogi. So, of course, many devotees, they just took unnatural means to not go to the restroom, so they wouldn't be called bogies. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. You know? Oh my God, I know, but I'm not going to go because I'm not a bogey. So, that's not the system. So, getting to the point, rogi means sickness. So bhava rog means the sickness of material emotions. So we're trying to avoid that, but we don't want to become emotionless. So we have to develop transcendental emotions. And so transcendental emotions, it's so interesting. We're practically, I mean, the Vaishnava or Vedic tradition is probably the only philosophical religious tradition on the earth. I mean, philosophical, consistent tradition on the earth. We're actually very philosophical. Most other religions or spiritual practices, they're based on dogma. You know what dogma is? That's not something that barks. The dog ma, you know, the mother of the dog, you know. So, but, dogma means you just have some statement without any philosophical backing, no categories, just like if unless you surrender to a particular person, you know, let's say the way Christianity is presented, you're going to hell. That's dogma. Whereas in the Vedic system, we have categories and understanding. For example, we say there is a category called avatars. And one of those avatars, an example, one of those avatars is Jesus Christ, right? Or some other people consider it. Like if you go to India, you'll see that practically everybody's Hindu considers Jesus Christ to be of the category of avatars. So you get into, this is philosophy, you get into different categories, which is not just dealing with the, gross matter. It's more something more subtle, you know, categorization, understanding, philosophy, and we're practically the only ones who have that. So
Our philosophy is so nice that not only do we know we're not the body, or some of us know we're not the body. Maybe one of you know you're not your body. So not only do we know that we're not our bodies, but we can actually delve into the intricate practices of bhakti, beginning with, of course, Vaidhi Bhakti, which is devotional service and practice according to rules and regulations. And then the higher stage of sadhana, Raghunuga Bhakti, which means spontaneous. And then we get into these things called bhavas, emotions. And so the emotions are elaborately described by the great acharyas like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, or Bhaktivinoda. I mean, you go elaborate descriptions in different books, not only philosophical books, but story books. Like, there's one book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called the Jiva Dharma. Anyone's heard of that book? Mm-hmm. And it's a storybook, but in the storybook you find the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness elaborated. It's just an amazing thing. You got Bhagavad Gita in there, you got Vaidhi Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, Raghunuga Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti, Rasa Theology, everything in a really nice story. So of course, first you should read Prabhupada's books. But our acharyas, it's amazing. And of course, Jiva Goswami is the most erudite scholar practically of all time, devoted to translating his Tattva Sandarbha. Just dealing with epistemology. Because probably very few of you know what epistemology is. Epistemology is the science of knowing what you know. How do you know what you know? And on that basis, we can actually deal with almost anyone. We can just say to someone of a different spiritual path, how do you know what you know? And practically speaking, they have no understanding of why they know what they know, or how they know what they know, or anything like that. And they just become bewildered. But anyway, so our acharyas get into really depth about this epistemology. There's different branches of philosophy, epistemology, ontology, different things like that. So anyway, getting back to bhavas or emotions, the acharyas talk elaborately about spiritual emotions, beginning with what's called a vibhava, those things which stimulate you. Just like the other day, I was walking into a computer store and I was stimulated by seeing the latest computer. That's a vibhava, a material vibhava. That's Baba Roke. Right? Anyone? Of course, not many of you are techies here. Most of you are just like Bob, just revealing my inner heart. And Baba's not blessed. Confession. Probably the only one who confesses during Bhagavatam class. That'll be honest. So different things may stimulate you in the material world. I'm just trying to give examples so you understand what a vibhava is. Well, you're into cars, you know, you see a car, you may get stimulated by that. Or if you went into love in the material world, you may see a young boy, a young girl, and you get stimulated by that. Or you're into music, you see Madonna, and you get stimulated by that. Anyway, so that those things which stimulate you in Krishna consciousness, and we have to get into these things in Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, we're doing things very ritualistically, so we're not receiving much stimulation. Like I was thinking this morning, you know, we were chanting, sometimes I think spiritually, you know, once in a while. But we were chanting the prayers after Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, after reading the deities, and I'm just thinking very intently about the meaning of each and every one of the words, you know. The compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this avatar has come down, you know, basically, Tava avatar. Mosama Patita Parabhu Napaiva. Yeah, Patita means, you know, you're saving the fallen. Prabhu is coming down, Prabhu, the master, is coming down for the fallen. And, you know, I became a little excited.
and didn't show up every week.
I became a little excited. I said, wow, this is great. Just thinking like that. So that's stimulation. But oftentimes, or most of the time, we don't really think about what we're doing while we're doing it. So we don't become stimulated. We become unconscious as we're doing it. You know, devotees have learned the art of being conscious while unconscious. Or sleeping during Bhagavatam class with their eyes open. Or nodding, you know, just making sure, you know, I look at them. It's like I do with my mother when I'm speaking to her on the phone. That she said, are you listening to me? Yeah, I'm hearing every word. But I'm actually typing on the computer or doing my email at the same time. Yeah, that's right, Mom. Probably if she said anything, I would say, that's okay, that's good. I'm dying. Oh, that's nice. I've had that happen, not with my mother, with other devotees sometimes. I'm not paying attention. I'm feeling really sick. And of course, you know, my natural response every day, I'm trying to be positive. Isn't that ecstatic? So, yeah. We have to be. Why do they have this mindfulness, you know, be here now? But the devotees are supposed to be here now, when you are at the moment in Christian consciousness. I mean, even yesterday, we were walking back from the park, and I was just thinking about something deeply. I forget what it was. And I made the wrong turn coming back, and the devotee was with me. He said, don't you want to go back to the temple? And I was like, I'm going to head in the opposite direction. I said, oh, yeah. Forgot about that. So I was inattentive, and that was all right. I mean, because I was thinking about something Krishna conscious. So even if I wandered off and ended up in Maribor, it would have been all right. I was thinking something Krishna conscious. But while we're in the temple room, you know, chanting, dancing, we should be thinking like Jai Radha Madhava. What does Jai Radha Madhava mean? All glory is to, you know, Radha. And Madhava means Madhava, the goddess of fortune. And Madhu means like Madhusudana or Bumblebee or something, things like that. It's really wonderful when you get to know the meanings of these words. So therefore you get stimulated by these things. It's, wow, isn't that wonderful? And you look at Panchatattva and think, isn't it so wonderful? Wow. Panchatattva. Like even the Panchatattva Mahamantra, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, you know, there's Lord Chaitanya, Lord Dachinanda, Dvaita, Gadadha, Shivas, and then all the rest of the guys out here. So, that's Gaurav Bhaktivinoda. So you just, it's just nice. And then you'll be happy in Krishna consciousness and things like that. And then, of course, as you advance, then you have the Anubhavas. That means the emotions, like you start dancing. Like in the morning, the devotees are dancing. Anubhavas, sometimes Anubhavas are things like, of course, none of you experience this, but like a drooling from the mouth. Don't do that in the temple room. That's an Anubhava. And other things like that, and then other ecstasies, Sanjari Astasatvika Bhava. There's eight of those, of course, Satvika Asta. And then you have the Sanchari Bhavas, which are the Yogacharya Bhavas, the same thing. And there's 33 of that. And you read about these emotions. And that's really, Krishna consciousness is meant for emotionality. And I remember, let's give an example of Prabhupada with a Vibhava and a Yogacharya Bhava. That Prabhupada didn't often exhibit these Bhavas because had he exhibited them all the time, we would all become Sahajas. You know, there's like one church in the United States called the Holy Rollers. And there's other churches, the Pentecostal Church, I don't think you have any of these people here, that they do things, when they start their service, people start rolling on the ground, speaking in something called tongues. You ever heard of that before? It's a speaking in tongues, which means, basically, they just start, and they say, wow, he's in ecstasy. He's speaking in tongues, but actually, you know, just some physical thing, you know, some of the
hormones in the body started to function in a certain way. He got excited, and the word is spiritual. So Prabhupada didn't often exhibit or manifest these bhavas or emotions, especially the sanctuary bhavas, because we would have taken it improperly. But one time, twice in a row it happened, Prabhupada was in Caracas, Venezuela, and he arrived there and he saw Gordon Tai. Now Prabhupada had seen Gordon Tai many times, but Gordon Tai was in the what Prabhupada considered to be the furthest area from Mayapur. You know, Prabhupada says what Prabhupada said. We are so far from Mayapur, the other end of the earth. And then Prabhupada sees all these devotees in South America, not even who speak English, chanting and dancing in front of Gaura Natai. And it's just like, Prabhupada just goes into trance. That's what we're going to talk about. He just loses his consciousness. And the devotees are wondering, what we do, and they start chanting, and then the Prabhupada comes back, and Prabhupada basically apologizes for being in ecstasy. I apologize that I was in ecstasy. Prabhupada said, I do not do that very often, so that was Prabhupada's mind. And the same thing happened in Miami, Florida, after Prabhupada went from Venezuela to Miami. So that's you know, that's really, you know, this is an example of spiritual emotions, or you have devotees like Srinivasacharya, who you're chanting about in the morning. I was remembering him this morning when you were chanting about Srinivasa Ramchandra Kaviraj. So an interesting story about them. Srinivasacharya was so absorbed in the internal relationship with Krishna that he would sometimes go into trance for days, meditating and being absorbed in spiritual emotions. And his wife, he was married, his wife got real worried. You know, your husband's sitting there for days and not eating and not drinking. You worry. What do you do? You don't really want to shake him. Hey, honey, wake up. You know, that's not the right thing. You might get upset. There's actually stories about that thing. In the Mahabharata, about one wife who woke up her husband and then he left. That was Jatakaru. Some of you may not. I don't have to tell that story. So she called for his best disciple to come, who was Ramchandra Kaviraj, who was also mentioned in this prayer we're chanting in the morning, isn't it? Srinivas Ramchandra Kaviraj. So in other words, while you're chanting prayers, I'm remembering these personalities. I'm just giving you an example of what I do in Krishna consciousness, because I think, you know, a practical example can help us understand. So I'm remembering even the stories and those stuff like that. And so Ramchandra Kaviraj comes, sits next to his guru, doesn't say, hey, Gurudev, time to wake up, you know, you've been in trance too long. Sits next to his guru, enters into the same emotional, trance, spiritual pastime, and does, you know, they were looking for Radharani's toe ring or ankle bells, something like that. Finds it, and then they both come back to external consciousness, look at each other, embrace each other. So this is actually what's in store for us in Krishna consciousness. So the point I'm making is, if you're absorbed in these sorts of emotions, then the things that happen in this world, which will happen, you know, not only painful words, painful actions, people will pass away. There's so many painful things. Just like last night, I was informed that one of the people I'm cultivating in Krishna West, their cat passed away. I mean, what can you do? I mean, and people have, you know, they love. That's all right. They love him. They're a pet. And that's probably a good way to stay healthy. But, as we mentioned in class last night. It's true. I mean, because people's personal relationship with other people is really in the pits right now in Kali Yuga, isn't it? I mean, who can you trust? I mean, at least you can trust your cat or dog. Right? I mean, actually, Chanakapanda takes the dog as an example of loyalty. He said we should become loyal like a dog. And Prabhupada actually said, when we take initiation, these neck beads are a dog cow color. So, you know, the example of dogs, or cats.
I don't know how loyal cats are. But anyway, so then I had the text message last night, my condolences for the passing away. Offering our condolences because people, it causes pain. This world is full of this pain. So if we have this internal life, the point I'm continuing to make, if we have this internal life, then certainly we will experience the pain. I'm not saying that we'll become completely callous to the world. But it won't destroy our spirituality, it won't destroy our lives, it won't ruin us. We'll actually be able to go on in Krishna consciousness. Instead of saying, Namaruchi, like Lord Chaitanya came to teach what? Jivadoi, Namaruchi. So we have this Namaruchi, and Krishna Kataruchi, taste for all these things. Then, as the world sort of disintegrates, and then we won't take so seriously so many other things that happen in the world. I know on the internet, people get into so many wild things. Even speculation about Krishna consciousness, Dhuri told me yesterday that when people started discussing the flat earth theory, they were spending like days on the internet discussing whether the earth is flat or round and taking different quotes. Don't we have better things to do than discuss these things? I mean, the earth flat, round, or whether, even people, they have given into speculations whether NASA constructed a wall around the earth so we can't tell it's flat. And the devotees are getting into these things. I mean, the whole world is suffering. And basically, we have no taste for Krishna Gita. I mean, there's the Krishna book, the Bhagavatam. As I was explaining to the devotee the other day, the Gita, if you go through each word, then you can really enter into the mood and the different personalities of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. We have so much nectar there. And we're just going for this dried up stool of Gramya Katha. You understand Gramya Katha? Ordinary village talker, just speculation about the material world, whatever. It's just when you have nectar. But we're not experiencing that nectar, that's the problem, because we're just doing things ritualistically. So anyway, that's how to deal with all these different chastising words, even by the government. And owls and crickets should not bother you, unless they keep you up at night. One funny story about crickets. There was one, this is regarding my friend Rita Nandamarsh. He was staying in Gainesville in Lathrop, Florida, at the farm there, and there was a lake right next to it, and the crickets were there. Oh, no, frogs, too. And he couldn't sleep at night, but all night long, the frogs and the crickets and everybody else were just like. So he sent all of his disciples out to catch the crickets and catch the frogs and bring them to another pond. That had nothing to do with class, but I just remember the story. So these are some of the points. So any questions or comments about these points? It helps to have disciples if you have a lot of frogs around you. Yeah.
So they succeeded and was night.
What, they succeeded in what?
In catching frogs and crickets.
Yes.
They succeeded.
They succeeded, but every day. But the problem with the frogs is they had little baby frogs, tadpoles. And there were all these new generations coming. So you had to catch all the little tadpoles. Because we're nonviolent, we don't want to kill them. So they had to put them in other buckets of water. You understand? Not just catch them, but put them in buckets of water. So for the guru, one should be surrendered like that. Okay, you have a question?
Yes, Maharaj, why we are using those harsh words, even though we say after we are sorry and we apologize probably and we make things, but still we do it again. What is the approach?
The point is, as we're addressing people, we should be thinking about them more than ourselves. And right now we think about ourselves more than them. So, I try my best. I mean, I'm not always succeeding, but I try my best before I say something. I'm trying to think how it will affect the person that I'm speaking to.
rather than thinking, you know, I just want to vent. You know what the word vent means? Osman. A vent is like, does anyone here have a pressure cooker? You know what a pressure cooker is? It's a pot that's sealed and you cook with, you know, the pressure builds up and you can cook very quickly with it. It's actually quite a nice pot to have. You can cook beans in half the time in a pressure cooker. And then when the pressure builds up, you know, the water, steam, and everything goes, that's called venting. So sometimes someone says something, it stimulates, and that same causes, I'm using the word stimulate deliberately, because we're responsible for our own anger, our own emotions, and our own actions. We don't want to be in denial. So if someone says something that stimulates our anger, if someone says, I didn't like the class you gave this morning, and then naturally, you know, then I want to vent to them. I said, I don't like you either. I think you're ugly. You know, I won't say that. I don't know what I'd say. I hate you. My children sometimes they say, I hate your guts, and the other one says, I hate your guts too. I don't know if you have children who do things like that here. Anyway, so instead of venting, then I would try to think what's best for the other person. It's a habit you got to develop, not you got to, but you can develop. Instead of immediate response, and the internet is easy to vent because you don't even see the other person. So the internet's just like someone sends you a heavy letter. I think you're a rascal. Boop! You press the send button and you feel, relieved. I got it. And then fortunately, there'll be another letter coming back from him or her, you know, and then it goes on forever and ever and ever. So if you can't respond thinking of the other person's welfare, take a time out before you can. You know, just like go for a little walk before you respond. So my standard is that you think of the other person, because what you say may adversely affect the devotee for their whole life. If you happen to be in a position of authority or a close person like husband or wife, you know, all it takes is for a husband or a wife to say something really mean. And you just don't forget it. Isn't that true? This doesn't, don't forget it, you know. Like one time, my mother said to my brother that basically you were an accident. Just a little thing like that. Accident means not planned. You know, that happens. So, you know, for his whole life he has to carry this around. And that's a heavy thing. You were an accident. You know, you translate that as you were unwanted. Of course, he wasn't unwanted. My mother loves him. Probably more than me. But anyway, so that's how I thought, because I was the older brother. So the older children become envious of the younger children. That's the standard. So a little thing like that, you just have to think. You say the wrong thing. And without consideration, their whole lives can be affected. It's heavy. Words are really heavy like that. You know, especially you know, your spiritual master, husband, wife. It's just a heavy thing, responsibility. Or, you know, temple president. Where's the temple president? I mean, it's a heavy responsibility being in a position of guidance to others, or teacher. I mean, I remember the times my teacher said something nice to me or something that was heavy. You know, like I mentioned yesterday, I remember when my dancing teacher told me I'd never learn how to dance. She was right. Or, you know, one teacher. I mean, I just remember these things. Like, I had one teacher in school, I had a nice sweater on. The teacher said, boy, you're so bright. Beautiful sweater.
I remember that, and that was when I was 7 years old. And just a little thing you remember. So we have to be extremely conscious when dealing with other people, because we are responsible for others. Thank you for bringing that point up. That's a very important point, which I didn't bring up. I forgot to bring up. Any other questions or comments? Yeah.
You were saying how the Lord is discussing this. Is NASA made a wall around the things like that, insignificant things actually, while we should be engaged in Krishna Katha.
Yeah.
So how to increase Krishna Katha so that people are not attracted by this thing?
Not attracted because we're not internalizing our Krishna consciousness. Our Krishna consciousness is seen as very ritualistic. You know, I remember when I was participating in another religion. I guess another. Anyway, the religion I was brought up in, it was just very ritualistic. It was very boring. I mean, I used to go to my religious ceremonies on Sunday with a comic book inside the Bible. Because it was boring. It was the most boring experience I've ever had. I mean, I almost became an atheist because of that. That's why I became a scientist. Because that was much more interesting. Something you couldn't engage the mind in anything. I mean, Savaya Manat Krishna Vidara Vindaya. The whole point is to engage the mind. And according to your psychophysical nature, there's different ways to engage the mind. I understand. Some devotees, they can engage the mind just by in the service itself. They're thinking of the service, which is not different from Krishna. But I couldn't engage my mind in that. I mean, there was no ecstasy. You know, God who was great, God who was this, okay. I heard it already. Been there, seen it, done it. And so we have more interest in Superman comic books than God. Yes, it was. Because at least it was variegated. It was kryptonite. Krishna, no, that's Superman, no. Everybody knows. Lois Lane, you know. You know, it's interesting. It's more interesting than just hearing, God is great, he's wonderful, he's fantastic, he'll save you. Please, God, forgive me for all my sins. You know, I was a little kid, I didn't even know what sins were. I thought sins meant disobeying my parents. Anyways. And then we have one day a year where God forgives you for your sins. It's a day of repentance. It's like the Catholic Church. You know, you have every week you go to see, confess. So we have one day a year, oh God, forgive me, God, forgive me, God, forgive me. Okay, forgive me. Now that I've got the rest of the year, I can do any damn thing I want. So no knowledge, nothing to stimulate me. So we have to be stimulated in Krishna consciousness. And you find out what stimulates you. I mean, some people it's philosophy. Some people it's management. Krishna. Some people it's a deity worship. Some people it's a kirtan. And we got so many varieties of things. It's really wonderful. But it has to be internal. It can't just be the external activity. As we're doing what we're doing, we should be thinking of the person who we're serving. Krishna, the spiritual master. Just like I got a message from a disciple this morning on the internet, and this disciple said, I'm doing this simply because I have love for you. And I said, I appreciate that very much. You know, they're doing a very hard service. So that's it, love. You know, that's really this love for Krishna, love for the Lord Chaitanya, love for our spiritual master. I mean, love for the other Vaishnavas. That has to be the stimulation. Otherwise, it's boring. And then you get into other things. Is there a flat? Is there a skinny? Oh, fat. There's flat. I didn't mean fat. No, the fat earth theory. Because I'm probably going to get people criticizing me for saying these things, making fun of these things. Who cares? I mean, even I get into other things. Do we come from the spiritual world? Do we come from the Tatashta? Do we come
from the moon. I mean, where did we come from? And you know, the prophet said, you know, you find yourself here, you're drowning. Get out. Later on you can figure out where you came from. And you know, I have certain beliefs in that respect, but I don't waste my time talking about it. And then trying to discourage other people because they have a different understanding of it than I do. What's the use? What is the use? Encourage, like, in the Gita, Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of those materially attached. Encourage them to work in the spirit of devotion. That's Gita. Anyway, I think it's time for prasadam again. It's nice that prasadam comes again and again. It's the one thing you don't get bored with, you know. I can't say, you know, I'm bored with eating. Because there's a taste for it. Isn't it? There's a rasa. Rasa is a dance. Rasa. There's a rasa. You know, we have all these different rasas. We have sweetness and bitterness and all these different rasas. That's what rasa means, taste, basically. And so it's not never boring. So unless we're experiencing rasa in our Krishna consciousness, and I'm not talking about your eternal, you know, relationship with Krishna, then everything will be boring. We're going to be looking for other stimulation, especially on the internet, you know, whatever. Okay? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, to Prabhupada Ki Jai. I want to thank everybody for joining us online. Vrinda, Nandini, A. Gopal in India, Kunal Mani, Om Pandey, Dineshe. Hey, it's great to see you. Wow, looking forward to seeing you when I get to Australia. Sital Varman, Nitai Prem, Jayavadra, Vaishnavi, Damodar Das, Jai Nitai, Jai Radhika from Australia, Jai Netri, Robert Osulin, Jyoti, Avinda Mohini, very nice to see you. Imai Nitai, Avikash Chan, Goradasi, Daddy Dennis, oh, Vasa Daddy, Buddy, Arjuna Das, wow, Neela Madhava, thank you all for joining us. All glories to Shri.